That is so nice. I can't wait till the weather matches that picture. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How are we doing today?
Blessed.
How many blessed people do we have in here? Amen. Hallelujah. Let me ask that question again because some people are not too sure. How many blessed people do we have in here this morning? Well, if you read your Bible, according to Ephesians chapter 1, it tells us that we're already blessed in heavenly places. Amen. So don't position yourself to be looking for blessing, but rather grab a hold of the blessing that God's already placed in your heart. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're starting this three-part series today. Started it last night. Amen. The topic, the title is Wells of Salvation, and we're going to go to the scriptures very, very shortly, and you'll see that. But what we're going to be studying over the next 3 weeks. Why is there such an empty spot up here, and there's so many people back there? Come on, it's too distracting back there. Come on. Thank you. Got a few more seats? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Too good of a message to be sitting in the back. Amen. Amen. So we're going to be talking about the most important person on the planet right now. Does anybody know who that is?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. What do you mean person? He's not an it. It grieves me when I hear somebody refer to the Holy Spirit as an it. He's a person. He is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has feelings. He has emotions. He can think. He has a will. He's an individual. Just because you can't see him doesn't mean, Pastor, doesn't it describe him as a wind? It describes him as a wind. It doesn't say he's a wind. He's not a force. He is a person that brings the power of God from the realm of the Spirit into the realm of the natural. Amen. Now, consider this, because if you don't grasp this, you're going to wait till the last part of the series and then go, oh, I get it now, when you could have been enjoying it all along, okay? The Holy Spirit of God is the person who was in charge of the church now in this present age.
Amen.
Okay? How many of you thank God for Jesus?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to give a second chance for the rest of you to get your hands up. How many thank God for Jesus? How many of you know Jesus is very important?
Amen.
How many of you know we need him?
Amen.
But how many of you also know that he's not on this planet right now?
Right.
Where is he?
In heaven.
Sitting where?
Right.
At the right hand of the Father. Who did he turn all the operations on earth over to?
The Holy Spirit.
Then we are the church, right?
Yes.
He's the head.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is the administrator. Who should we be cooperating with?
Holy Spirit.
Because he's administering the church.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
So we should be in the Holy Spirit's face every single day. We should live, move, and breathe Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Okay? Yes, we pray to the Father in Jesus' name. But the Holy Spirit is the one who was in charge of the church.
Amen.
Every single member. And you realize that you're the church, right?
Yes.
This building's not the church. You see how weak you got there? Because some of us have been so brainwashed to think, well, I'm going to church, meaning I'm going to that building. That building is something special. If I need something from God, I need to go to that building. No. That's religion. This building is just a place where we come together. It's a place for us to stay out of this stinking cold so that we can think straight and get equipped so that we can head into the rest of the week having received what we need through the teaching of the word, through being with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. But listen to me. You have the Holy Spirit in you. How many of you here in this room could say beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are born again? Who is the agent of change that came into your life? The Holy Spirit. When you said, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. Jesus, I declare my faith in you. I believe that you've been risen from the dead. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. His spirit came to live inside. Jesus didn't get off his throne, come to earth, crack open your chest, and crawl into your heart. Who came to live in you? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the depository of God. Everything that God has, everything that God is, everything God wants to do is transferred to you, imparted into you, deposited in you by his Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So, about a week ago, now I've had this kind of a message on my heart for a while. In fact, Pastor Pam, you might remember, it was about a year ago that I talked to you about wells. And we're going to get to that in part three, okay? So this has been kind of simmering. But last week I woke up, and I woke up singing a song in my head. Did you ever do that? How many of you know what I'm talking about? You wake up and I'm wearing a song. Now, hopefully it's not the jingle from some commercial on TV. Because did you ever get something stuck in your head like that? And you're like, oh my God, I can't take this anymore. Okay, when my kids were younger, our youngest son, I used to sing to him the Oscar Mayer Wiener song all the time. And that stupid jingle stuck in my head. But it's a principle. God's given us the ability to retain these things. So I wake up about a week ago in the morning, and I'm singing a song that I knew from about probably 35, 40 years ago. All right? I wish I could sing. I truly do wish I could sing. But I can't. The best I could do is give you the lyrics. So I wake up in the song, and I'm singing it in my head, and I'm thinking to myself, wait a second. That's from the book of Isaiah. Because, you know, I remember when predominantly most of the songs that we sang, worship songs, praise songs, used to be directly from the Word. Now, we still do. There's still some songs that are that way. But to me, that part that it played in my life is knowing those songs enabled me to memorize Scripture. Just like you remember the Oscar Mayer Wiener, you remember whatever favorite car, or you remember whatever, you fill in the blanks. Because I don't want to start, because then everybody's going to sit here with that particular jingle in their head. So I get up, I get my Bible, and I'm like, I think it's Isaiah 12. And I go to Isaiah 12, and I want to read this to you. I'm going to read the whole chapter, because it's one of the shortest chapters in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 12, starting in verse 1. And in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Here's where the song starts. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. And we're going to come back to that in a minute. Look at verse 3. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the
wells.
Let's say it again, from the wells of salvation. And in that day, you will say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the peoples, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst.
Amen.
And when I read this that morning, it was about 3:30 in the morning. I got up, I went to my office, and within 2 hours had the entire series.
Amen.
Just, I love when God does stuff like this. I sat at my desk, and I'm looking at this, and it just boom, 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 boom. We're talking about the wells of salvation. The wells of salvation, as it pertains to the Scriptures, is not talking about a physical well. It's talking about a person. And that person is the Holy Spirit of God. He is the well, the depository of salvation that God deposits in our hearts. And from that well, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself because I'm very excited about presenting this series. When we learn how to draw from that well, it begins to rise up on the inside of us, and begins to overtake the things in our lives that are contrary to the will of God, when we'll learn how to tap into that depository, that well, the Holy Spirit, we will begin to start drawing out the promises of God and see them fulfilled in our lives. You and I cannot live without that well. As born-again individuals, we have a well in us that most people never tap into. And so you live your life frustrated. You live a life just tough. Even though you're born again, even when you go to heaven, can't get out of your own way, just constantly bumping into walls because you haven't learned how to tap into that well where the true life of God, that abundant life that Jesus said that he died for us to have, amen, is deposited in that well, and that well is in you. But if you don't raise your level of awareness, you can live your whole life on this earth completely depleted. You listen to these doctors and stuff online, you know, those little videos and reels and stuff like that, and almost inevitably, you're going to hear one of these doctors say that the majority of the population of the United States is dehydrated. Has anybody heard that? Yeah. Sorry, that's why some of you walk around with water bottles all the time, okay? Gotta hydrate. Well, honestly, that is a picture of the church. We're drinking from here, drinking from there, or not drinking at all. And then we wonder why we have a tough time in life. Because we're spiritually dehydrated. You getting this?
Yes.
So now let's go back to verse 2, because there's a little play on words there. Verse 2, the Lord is my strength and song. He also has become my
salvation.
Okay, does anybody know what that word salvation is in Hebrew? Yeshua. Does anybody know what Yeshua is in English?
Jesus.
The word in Hebrew for salvation is the word Yeshua. It's Jesus' name. Okay? So we could read it this way. The Lord is my strength and my song. He also has become my Yeshua, my Savior, my Jesus. Are you getting this?
Yes.
So because of Jesus, because of his death, burial, and resurrection, because he went before us, paid the price for your sin, my sin, causes us to be qualified to stand in the presence of God. Because of him, we can drink from the well of salvation, which is the person of the Holy Spirit who came to live on the inside of you when you said yes to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Do you realize who you have in there?
Amen.
I don't know that we do. I know I spent many years as a Christian in the beginning part of my salvation experience, you know, fixated on Jesus. And that's good. We need to be, right?
Yeah.
We need to be. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. But we didn't, I'm not going to talk for you. I'm talking on my part. I didn't realize that before Jesus left this planet and returned to heaven, he turned things over to the Holy Spirit. If we're going to accomplish anything in this life, if we're going to fulfill the will of God and the plan of God for each one of our lives individually, we're going to have to learn to cooperate with the administrator of the church, because you're the church, he's the administrator.
Amen.
The orders and directions and communication come from the throne room of God. They don't go directly to you. The Holy Spirit picks up the messages from headquarters, brings them to earth. Now, because he lives in you, he then is wanting to communicate the will of God, the heart of the Father, the plans of Jesus, the head of the church, to us, and speaks to us through our spirit.
Amen.
You got to understand this connection, or you won't press in. You'll always be living in your head. Even though your spirit's alive unto God, you will try to live out God's plan on this earth through your own mental ascent. You'll try to figure everything out here instead of getting it here. How many of you have you had an experience where you could tell the difference between something that was here and something that came from here? The experience I had that I just told you about a week ago, did not come here. It came here. It downloaded here. Why? Because the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit dwells in our inner core. Sometimes it calls it the heart. King James refers to it as the belly, okay? And we'll get to a scripture that's going to talk about that. But you, here's my goal. Here's my goal. Okay, this is what I want to accomplish in the next 3 weeks. I want to raise the level of awareness in this congregation. Whether it's the 9 o'clock service, the 11 o'clock service, Saturday night 6 o'clock service, Wednesday night service at 7 o'clock, whether it's at the campus in Wall Township, whether it's at the campus in Bayville, to raise the level of awareness of who you have on the inside of you. So that we could all start flowing together as a church. And following the flow of the Holy Spirit and accomplishing the plan of God, not just corporately as a church body, but individually and specifically in each and every one of our personal lives. Amen. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here, but look at it this way. Nah, never mind. Let's go to John chapter 7. This is a good one. This is a good one. Could you say that in faith with me? This is a good one. On the last day, the great day of the feast. Now, what feast is he talking about? It's the Feast of Tabernacles, which takes place in the fall. And this particular feast involved water. Water. We're told at different seasons in history, when the temple was there, when it's still standing, first temple and then the second temple, on this particular feast, they would take water from this spring in the part of Jerusalem called the City of David, the particular spring there. They would go there and get all this water and bring it up to the Temple Mount. And then at a particular time, now some of it was a practical purpose. I remember reading one Bible commentator saying, well, this was a time when they would coincide not only this outpouring of water, but they would also, because you got animal sacrifices going on there. And so they would bring these tons of water up there to kind of wash all the junk out. It's very symbolic about what happens in our lives. Get all the junk out, all the blood from the animal sacrifices and all this other stuff. In other words, it's like, hey, this time of year, we're going to coincide cleaning with this particular holiday. So Jesus is there in Jerusalem during this holiday. And at specific time on that particular day, because it's a multiple day feast, it's not just one day. At a specific time, water would be released from the Temple Mount and would flow out from everywhere and just wash all the junk out and flow out from the Temple Mount. Can you get that picture? Just water just flooding down stairs and washing out into the city. And Jesus stands up during that time with that backdrop of all this water flowing from the Temple Mount, which represents the presence of God, and flowing out from that place. And on the last day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and what?
Drink.
Say that again, and what?
Drink.
Hold on to that, because that's going to be important. Next verse, Jesus still speaking. He who believes in me, how many people believe in him here? Come on. How many people believe in him? Because this verse pertains to you and pertains to me. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, Jesus is quoting the Old Testament, out of his heart, King James says belly, basically out of the core of his being, will flow what?
Rivers.
What's going to flow?
Rivers.
What's going to flow?
Rivers.
Rivers. But wait a minute, you said for me to drink. I heard Pastor Bill Johnson recently from Bethel Church say, the drink becomes a river.
Amen.
You didn't get it. The drink becomes a river. You take a drink of the Holy Ghost, and as you learn how to draw from that well, the well doesn't stay a personal little well that's specific to you. The well, come on, let's read the rest of it. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, blah, blah, blah. Okay, out of his heart will flow rivers, but what does it start with?
A drink.
Say this to me. The drink
becomes
a river. Say it over here.
A drink
becomes
the river.
See, the drink is just for you, but the river, everybody else gets a partake of. Oh, man. Next verse. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit. We're missing a verse here. Go back. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Go to 39. But this he spoke concerning the
Spirit.
So who's the drink?
Spirit.
Who's the river? The Spirit. I'm not trying to trick you. Who's the drink? The Holy Spirit. Who's the river? The Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus is not yet glorified. Don't let that last part stumble you. That last part was fulfilled already.
Amen.
Understand that John is writing about a time that this happened was before Jesus went to the cross. And at that time, nobody could receive the Holy Spirit yet because Jesus had not yet gone to the cross, paid our ransom to get us out of slavery of sin. He had not yet risen from the dead. But now, by the time John wrote this and literally put it down, that already had to happen. So what's Jesus saying? At this point in time, I'm pointing you to a future event that's going to take place after my crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. Once that's over with, the drink will become a river. A well is a personal thing. You can only get a few people around a well. Only a few people at a time can drink out of a well. But a river? Let me just give you an example, okay? Back in the Old Testament, Moses leads the people of Israel out. They're going through the desert. They need water. God points Moses to a rock and says, I want you to strike that rock and watch the water come out of it. I don't know about you, but I always had this picture for many, many years. That you, how many of you know the story of that little story? I don't know if it's true. The little Dutch boy that put his finger in the dam.
Yeah.
How many know what I'm talking about? Okay. And you've seen cartoons and stuff like that when you took the thing out. You had this little psst, psst. I'm thinking, okay, that's probably what that was like. But then a good friend of mine, who went home to be with the Lord just a few months ago, many years ago, we're sitting down talking about scripture, and he says, hey, Joe, do you realize that when Moses struck that rock, the water that had to come forth from that rock had to be enough to water 2.5 million people plus all their cattle? He said that thing, when he struck it, had to be like a river that was running out. And I thought to myself, oh, my God, that's what Jesus was talking about. Because when you and I let the Holy Spirit of God crack that stony heart of ours, he came in. And when he came in and you took that initial drink of the Holy Ghost, his desire was not only to be in you, but to pour out from you and touch everybody around you.
Amen.
That is the reason why this church, New Beginnings, if this is your church,
yes,
if I'm your pastor,
yes,
if this is where you believe God is feeding you, where you're supposed to be,
yes,
you better start turning that river on.
Because
there are people in your life that you're surrounded with, people in your neighborhood, people in your extended family, people on your job, people in school with you that need a drink of water. They're dying of spiritual dehydration. They're literally, and watch this, and you have the drink in you.
Amen.
Now, don't you think you and I are going to be responsible? Don't you think you and I are going to have to give an accountability what we did with that reservoir on the inside? See, because the well of salvation that Isaiah is talking about is everything that is God, that God has promised to us, everything that he's capable of, this very life itself in us, you and I are going to be accountable for. Jesus made the way open for us to take a drink, those living waters. His death, burial, and resurrection have made us qualified to receive the fountain of living waters springing up to affect all the people around us. A well is a depository. in addition to a place of access. In the natural, we access and we draw water up. In the spirit, the wells of salvation are that deep resource of the Holy Spirit. It comes from the Father to every child of God, and we draw from that well by faith.
Amen.
Jesus referred to it as a river. We talked about that already. Now, watch us now. Let me see. Do I need to go here? Yeah, we might as well. I want you to realize something. If you don't know this yet, but if you do, I want to stir it up to remembrance of this. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they really stand apart from the Old Testament and New Testament. Well, Pastor, the Gospel and New Testament, yeah, they're included in the New Testament books, but really they're transitional books. The Gospels both draw from the well of the Old Testament, but also introduce the waters of the New Testament.
Amen.
That's why if you study the Gospels, sometimes you'll come across some things that Jesus says that if you're not careful, almost seem like they contradict Paul, especially in the matters of grace. And the reason for that is because Jesus is operating in the Gospels as an Old Testament prophet.
Amen.
We just saw it. He's quoting from the Old Testament, but then he introduces some new ideas.
Yep.
So he's pointing them to, okay, this is what you've been used to, but this is what's coming. Okay, well, Pastor, if that's the truth, do we have anything in the Old Testament that would have alerted people ahead of time? Yes, we do. In the book of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 31, Jeremiah prophesies. What does it mean to prophesy? It means to speak under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, pointing to an event that will take place in the future.
Amen.
His future. Our past was their future. John chapter 7 was in the past. It's not in our future. Jesus has already been glorified, therefore the Holy Spirit is available to us. This is tougher than I thought it was going to be.
Amen.
Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a... Could you all say it nice and loud? I will make a...
New covenant.
He says, there's going to be a day where there's going to be a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Look at verse 32. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt. What's he saying? It's going to be different than the covenant I made back then. This is going to be a new covenant. In fact, the book of Hebrews says it's a new covenant with new and better promises.
Amen.
Why is this important? Listen to me closely. Again, our goal here is to raise the level of awareness of how important the Holy Spirit is in our lives. Jesus died a brutal, horrible death. Suffered in the natural. And then had to endure in the realm of the Spirit. All that a person endures, just like you and I, that would reject Christ. He endured all of this in the natural realm and in the spirit realm. In order, look at me, to bring into effect this new covenant. And the major mark that differentiates old covenant and new covenant is this. In the old covenant, the Holy Spirit could not live in an individual. I keep teaching this, but I don't think we're grasping it. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, at very best, could come upon an individual. And you'll see this phrase over and over again in the Old Testament. And the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. Or the Spirit of God came upon so-and-so. Or the hand of the Lord came upon King so-and-so. And so the anointing, the presence of the Holy Spirit, which is the power of God, would come upon them. But then once that task was finished, the Holy Spirit came off them. The Holy Spirit never dwelled on the inside because nobody could be born again yet because Jesus had not yet purchased our salvation. Are you getting this?
Yes.
It cost him his life. so that you and I could get born again in this new covenant, so that we would have this well of salvation on the inside, so that in everyday life, we can draw with joy from these wells of salvation. And what am I drawing? I'm drawing the wisdom of God to help me go to my job. I'm drawing the patience of God so that I don't kill my boss. I'm drawing what I need. I'm drawing the compassion of Christ so that I don't lose my mind with a loved one who seems like they're intent to destroying their lives. Do you not understand what I'm saying? It's giving us the things that we need on a practical, everyday basis. You can't live this Christian life without the Holy Spirit. Learn of Him. Press in to get to know Him. Spend time with Him. Converse with Him. Vent to Him. He already knows everything that's going on in your life. Jesus introduced Him as our helper. Amen. Give Him something to help you with. Amen. Stop just trying to do it on your own all the time. Stop trying to figure out life on your own all the time. You have an advocate, Jesus described Him as. What is an advocate? A helper, okay, but it's a little bit more than a helper in that sense. If I got to go to court and my life is on the line, it's a life and death situation, I don't know if I want a helper. I want a good attorney. And that's basically what it means in the original language, an attorney. Who is an attorney? An attorney that comes alongside with you and helps you fight your case. Are you getting this? So everyday practicality, you get up and maybe you got an opportunity to advance on the job, but it's going to require you taking on these other responsibilities. And maybe you think, I don't know if I can do this. I don't think I have the education. I don't have the experience. What do? You're going to go in the boss and say, oh, Mr. Boss, I can't do this job. No, you could tap into the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, you know what it's going to take. You're the fountain of wisdom in me. You are the Spirit of grace. You're the Spirit of wisdom. Jesus said you would lead me and guide me into all truth. Holy Spirit, I'm coming to the well. I'm throwing the bucket in by faith. I need you to come and spring up on the inside of me and give me the ability that I need every single day. Hallelujah. You start doing that, you watch how life changes. Just because you're born again doesn't mean that you're going to live that out on the earth. You're born again in your spirit. Your spirit is perfected. Your spirit's going to heaven. Your soul needs to be changed and transformed, and you cannot do that on your own. Neither can I. I can't do what I'm doing if I didn't dip into the well. But you know, every time I come up here, Lord, I receive your grace for this service. Father, I'm giving you my faith. Thank you that you give me your grace, that I can accomplish what I need to accomplish in this service. I'm going to do it again in 11 o'clock service. Why? Because there's a unique group of people in this room right now at the 9 o'clock service. The Holy Spirit knew you were going to be here. I trust Him to give me what we all need for this service. This is very different from the service last night. Last night's service, completely different emphasis. Same topic, same subject, same picture, same title.
Different people.
Different people with different needs. Different things you're going to face tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. So we got to keep going to the well. Okay? Because the water that I drew yesterday was for yesterday. The water I'm drawing today is for today. You're going to wake up tomorrow morning with a completely different set of circumstances. You need to daily go to that well on a continual basis. And even just speak to yourself. Speak to yourself. God bless you. Do this with me. Put your hands right here. Put your hands right here. Put your hands right here. Right. Say this with me. Spring up, oh well.
Spring up.
Give me what I need.
Bring
to the surface
everything
that I need to fulfill God's plan for my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. The well. Man. Spring up, oh well. Within my soul, right? You remember that old song? Amen. Once you taste this, once you start dipping into that well of sad, and you start realizing, man, this is what the scripture is talking about in 1 John when he says, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. You have the greater one on the inside of you. Don't you understand that? That's why there should never be. We should never wake up and walk out in fear. You got the greater one in you. You have the resources of the universe on the inside of you. You've got God's spirit, the creator of everything seen and unseen, deposited in you. And you, that well can never run dry. It'll never run dry. It'll constantly be replenished, constantly being filled up, constantly. But you got to constantly be drawing and constantly be drawing and constantly be drawing. And constantly. And the more you draw and the more you drink, the drink becomes a river, and the river satisfies and refreshes all those around you. It's supposed to spring up. It's supposed to spring up. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
When it springs up, see, the drink is for you. But when you allow it to spring up, now it starts splashing over to everybody else around you. And then you get people saying, I don't know what it is, man. When I'm around that person, there's something different. Yeah, because they just got splashed. When you allowed the drink to become a river and the river started bubbling up and bubbling up and bubbling up and bubbling up, all of a sudden it's all over the place. And you start affecting everybody around you. And now what happens? They want a drink.
Amen.
They want a drink. When you start living like this, you never again will be content to live from our shallow, flesh-tainted lives. You will crave that pure water of the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit a little bit more. We've got a few more minutes here. Romans chapter 8, verse 7. Romans chapter 8 is one of the most important chapters in the book of Romans.
Amen.
So much in there, man. Man, if you just had that page and you lost your Bible, if you had Romans chapter 8, you'd do okay. Verse 7, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. What do you mean? I can be born again, my spirit can be alive unto God, but my mind be contrary to him? Yeah. See, because your mind is your soul. Your spirit is, and your mind are two different things. Your spirit can receive things from God that your mind would say, what are you, crazy? So you read the word, and the word speaks to your spirit. The word says, by his stripes you're healed. Your mind goes, well, I don't know about that. I've still got this pain. Doctor says I still have this condition. You see what you're doing? You're judging with your mind something that's eternal. It's an eternal truth. You hear the gospel. Probably some of you in this room heard the gospel, and you went, that's ridiculous. How can somebody who died 2,000 years ago pay for my sins 2,000 years before I was born? What are you doing? Instead of receiving with your spirit, you're trying to figure it out with your
mind.
The mind is governed by the flesh, is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Now look at verse 8. This is interesting. Those who are in the realm, or we can say it this way, those who are in the category of the flesh cannot please God. Now, he's making a contrast here. Look at verse 9. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. Does the Spirit of God live in you?
Yes.
Are you born again?
Yes.
Then the Spirit of God lives in you. So as far as God's concerned, you're not in the realm of the flesh. You are in the realm of the Spirit because you belong to him. Now, when you came to him, he didn't split you and go, okay, I'll take your spirit part, but leave that soul thing down there. He took you complete, right? Spirit, soul, and body. Now, your spirit has been perfected. You're going to heaven. But your soul needs to be transformed here on the earth.
Amen.
Who do you think is the person in charge on earth to help you and I transform our souls?
The Holy Spirit.
So you tell me, if you don't have any relationship with the Holy Spirit, how much transformation in your soul you're going to experience? Isn't it a shame that for hundreds of years there have been complete, entire denominations in the Christian world that taught against the Holy Spirit, stopped generations of people from getting to know this person who lives on the inside of us through salvation, therefore resulting in very little transformation and change. That's why you can have a person thoroughly born again go out and rob a bank. You have a person thoroughly born again. I'm not talking about anybody here. You could have a person thoroughly born again, going to heaven, commit adultery. Because their spirit is connected to God. But their soul has been completely off limits to the one who brings transformation. And I'll prove it to you. Watch this now. All right. However, not in the realm of the spirit, but in the realm of the flesh, but the realm of the spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and he does. Now, I want you to skip down to, let's go to verse 10. But if Christ is in you, even though your body is subject to death because of sin, physical part of us, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. You are in right standing with the Father. The Spirit has brought you life. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, is he? He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. Amen. Okay? You see the benefits that we have?
Yes.
Are you getting this?
Yes.
The same spirit, the same force, the same power that raised Jesus' dead body dwells in each one of us according to this promise. Now, what's he there for? I never made this connection until I studied for this series. Look at verse 12. Therefore, what's the next two words?
Brothers.
Who is this letter written to?
Us.
Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh, to live according to it, to the flesh. Look at verse 13. This is so important. And then we'll wrap this up for today. For if you live according to the flesh, you will
die.
But look at the next part. Could you read this nice and loud with me? Beginning with the word but. Do you remember? Ready? One, two, three. But if the Spirit... But if by the Spirit, you do what? I don't know that we got this. Let me go through this again, step by step, because if you don't remember anything else today, go home with this. But if by the Spirit, with the Spirit's help, with the empowerment of the Spirit, by us submitting to the Spirit, you put to death the what? Misdeeds, sin or whatever, of the body, you will what?
Live.
Okay. Now follow me here. And please listen closely. I'll have you out of here in a matter of minutes if you listen closely. If you don't, we'll have to stay after class. Watch this now. As soon as you sin, one of the first voices you will hear is, oh, you did it now. Oh, you stepped over the line. God doesn't want anything to do with you anymore. In fact, the Holy Spirit has probably left you. Did you hear what I just said? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. I'm not going to ask you to flinch because you might be one of the perfect ones here sitting among us. It is inevitable that when we sin, the first voice that comes is the voice of condemnation telling you, you're done now. God can never use you again. God doesn't love you anymore. You crossed over the line. You promised you would never do this again. And here you are. You did it again for the 1,000th time. God is done with you now. But that scripture says, go back. Here it is. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the flesh, He's telling us the reason that the well is deposited in you is so that when you do fall, when you do sin, when you do something that you think to yourself, how did I get to this place? It is the Holy Spirit himself that lives in you to say to you, come on, take me by the hand. Let's walk out of this garbage dump. Let me get you out of this filth. Let's get you washed up again. Let's get you seated again with Jesus, with Christ, at the right hand of the Father. Let us get back to your awareness of the fact that you are in right standing with God. Let's kill this sucker so it doesn't keep coming back, so that you're not living in cycles where you're good for a couple of weeks, good for maybe 3 weeks, and then bam, you start all over again. It is the Holy Spirit of God living in you that is going to come to fight with you, not against you. He takes us and leads us out of that garbage so that we can get back into that awareness of who I am in Christ. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. It's just, whatever Adam did, do the opposite. What happened with Adam's sin? What did he do? He ran from God and tried to cover things himself. What is this scripture saying? Run to him. Enlist his help. In fact, later on in the same chapter, it tells us that when we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit comes to help us. Okay? And when you really look up that word, and I've taught it here over the years, what it really says about the Holy Spirit is that he will come and take hold together with you against. So when sin is breathing down our neck, when we fall for the temptation, be smart enough to get up and go, all right, I did this. It's a fact. I'm not going to deny it. I did this. However, Holy Spirit, come now. Get alongside me. Take hold together with me against this sin so that I don't find myself in a cycle over and over and over again doing the same thing. Now watch this now. If you're not aware of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life, then when you do sin, you're going to feel like you've been abandoned. You're going to feel like you've been cast out. You're going to feel like there's no hope for you. Listen to me, church. You and I need to have this wonderful, intimate, close relationship with the Holy Spirit, because he is the only hope of us taking this soul and transforming it and getting rid of the pride, getting rid of the arrogance, getting rid of the junk, getting rid of all the garbage that is standing in our way from allowing that drink to become a river. Because when you feel condemned, you don't want anybody to drink from you. That's what Peter experienced. Jesus works this tremendous miracle, and what's the first thing that comes out of Peter's mouth? Depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinner. Depart from me. You and I never need to say that, because he said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And how does he fulfill that promise? Yes. The well of salvation on the inside, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Enlist his help instead of running from him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. If you need prayer for anything, come on up. If not, go enjoy the rest of the weekend. Get to know the well on the inside. Amen?